So there we go, from 1980, that's a George Kirk Penn track, Disc and That, and a tune called Space War. We've got the man himself coming up next. We're going to do an intro. This is George Kerr recording as himself, Love Won't Let Me Wait. Dean Anderson's in the studio with me as well, so we'll have a right chat.
And in blackest nights, no man on earth has the right to use or abuse someone so precious as a woman. And you know, in our day-to-day endeavors, men fail to realize or appreciate the joy only a woman can bring. We are always talking about this is a man's world. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You and I know, darling, this is a woman's world. And I want you to know, I'm one of the few to acknowledge that fact. The time is right. You're holding me tight. And love's got me high.
Yeah.
So from 1988, there's George Kerr and Love Won't Let Me Wait. I'm joined in the studio by Dean Anderson this evening, and we're going to be talking to George Kerr because hopefully George is on the line. Hello, George.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm just trying to turn your volume up. Keep talking.
Yes, I'm fine, and yourself?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Thank you very much for coming to dialing in and talking to us. Really looking forward to this chat. We've been playing your we've got a 2-hour show, George, with all the music that you wrote and performed, either wrote or performed. And of course, you've had a big prolific career as a ranger, and yeah. So where did it all start?
Well, West Palm Beach, Florida, by way of Osceola, Georgia.
Right.
I started to write songs when I was 7, words, and then when I was about 13 years old, the music started to come to me.
Right.
And when I was about 14 years old, I started to hear horns, strings, flute.
Wow. Are you from a musical family?
Just my father was singing a quartet, a gospel quartet.
Oh, right.
Everyone can sing in my family.
I mean, that's kind of... good evening, George. It's Dean Anderson here from a friend of Ada's. It's just great to be on the other side of the microphone just listening to it. You know, you guys over there are so lucky. You sing gospel and you learn music the real way at an early age. And, you know, the instrumentation, I mean, instruments, did you sort of self-teach or were you, you know, schooled in playing instruments?
Well, you know... it's amazing that I hear those songs, but I don't play an instrument, but I hum them out, the majority of the songs
all
that
right.
I wanted, and I was blessed with some of the greatest arrangers around, and they was able to capture the things that I hummed to them, and then they put their own thing to it, and then it was such a beautiful mixed marriage, I guess you say.
Yeah, lovely. Brilliant.
And so you formed a vocal harmony band called the Serenaders.
Yes, when I came out of school back in the, and I must have, I think it was, 53, I formed a little singing group by the name of the Serenaders, and I had a few hits on
it. Oh, brilliant, yeah. Serenaders, really,
what's
really
that?
Early Motown sound. What? So what was the hits that you, the first ones, George?
There was two sets of Serenaders.
Mm-hmm.
One set, was with, my brothers, Howard Curry, and Bobby Jones, but
right.
Then the latter was Sidney Barnes,
Timothy Wilson as well.
Yeah, and myself.
Lovely.
So, did your brother mind you taking the name of the Serenaders? He had it first.
No, pardon?
I think that was wrapped up, wasn't it? The original Serenaders were wrapped up,
yeah,
and then you,
you
launched
just
it again.
Relaunched it, didn't you?
The Timothy and Sidney,
with your brother's blessing, I'm sure, George. Yeah.
Right. Well, I did, you know, I did the latter Serenaders I did with Motown.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. That's right, because tell me the story. I was fortunate enough to see you at Blackpool last year at the International Soul Festival, and I listened to the question and answer session on the Saturday afternoon. Very, very interesting. And I was particularly interested in you as telling us about the Serenaders, when Motown opened a publishing office in New York.
Yes. Well,
so tell me
Motown
about that.
Motown opened a publishing company, and I read in the newspaper that they were opening up a New York office, and they were looking for songwriters and artists.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got Timothy Wilson, Howard Curry, and this other guy,
Sidney
Barnes.
Yeah.
And we went to audition, and so happened that Berry Gordy was there, but he had a newspaper in his hands, and he didn't, you know, almost in his face.
Right.
Down and everything, and we were singing and for Ray Gordy, his wife.
Uh-huh.
So after we finished singing the song, Ray Gordy turned to him and says, "Barry, I think I really like them." And when she said Barry, we almost fainted.
Jelly legs, yeah, absolutely. Fantastic.
And they loved us so much until they signed us right on the spot.
Yeah.
And shipped us to Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And we did... 4 songs, and they say they was going to start a new label, the VIP label.
VIP, right. Yeah, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we did that, but it was a Motown production.
Yeah. So, so George, can I ask you, you're the Serenaders who did Tears, Nobody and a Smile, that wonderful thing that was an issue. Was that your brother? Because that is quite early.
I'm going to believe this. Tears, Nobody and a Smile was a demo
that
we did.
Brilliant.
To send back to Detroit for some of the Detroit artists to do.
Yeah.
That was a demo. We must have did about I would say about 300 demonstration records.
Yeah.
To Detroit.
Yeah, I mean that one turned up on a studio acetate that I had a copy of it a few years ago, and my friend's got that one now, and I love that record. It's just wonderful, brilliant record.
Great stuff. So you were with the Serenaders, and at what point did you front Little Anthony in the Imperials?
Well, that's a story too. I looked and I saw in the Jet magazine that Little Anthony was leaving the Imperials. Sidney Barnes and I went up to audition.
Right.
So when we went in, there must have been about 20 guys was there that was going to audition for the lead. So these guys auditioned, and it got down to me and Sidney Barnes.
Wow.
And when we came back, Richard wanted me to sing Tears on My Pillow.
Right.
And then he wanted Sidney to sing Tears on My Pillow. Then he said he wanted me to do another song. Then he wanted Sidney to do another song. Then it boiled down, then I won out over Sidney. And then I told Sidney later on, I said, Sidney, I know I was going to beat you out. He said, why? I said, I know you could out-sing me, man. I said, but Richie could only play in one key, and it happened to be my key.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Smack in the center of the range.
Brilliant, yeah.
Good stuff. Right, so it was whilst you was with Motown that you started writing under a pseudonym, wasn't it?
Yes. What we did, we wrote, I don't know how many songs, and then they moved me, when they closed down the New York office, they moved me and my family to Detroit, got me a home down there, and they told me they wanted me to learn, you know, I was a diamond in the rough,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted me to come down just to, you know, listen and learn.
Right.
And so I did a couple of songs people don't even know. They didn't give me a chance down there at that particular time. So I went over to Golden World, which was a no-no.
Yeah.
I produced the song I Have Faith in You on...
Ah, Edwin Starr.
Edwin Starr.
Yeah,
and,
brilliant.
And I put my wife's maiden name on it because I was exclusive with Motown.
Uh-huh.
And I produced. I used the Motown musicians. I used the Andantes, who were the background singers on everything that Motown did.
Yeah.
I used everybody. And I couldn't put my name on it.
Yeah. So, Moonlighting, I think we call that.
There's no producer. But when you see Debbie Hopson, that's my wife's name.
All right, yes, Weseline.
Hopson.
Lovely, lovely. Edwin Starr holds a very dear place to the hearts of people around Newark because he lived here for many years. Well, not in Newark, but in Retford.
Just down the road, yeah.
Yeah, about 17 miles away. So, lovely, lovely man. Always had a smile.
Yeah.
Bless him.
I mean, George, because you were kind of writing those things, were you not scared that your style would be kind of obvious and stand out and people might say, hey, that's George Kerr? Yeah. You know, because, I mean, everyone has a distinctive style, don't they, putting stuff across?
You think that I had a distinguished style?
Distinctive.
And distinguished.
Yeah, because if you're writing things and putting your stuff out there, people recognise it. Hey, yeah, that's one of George Kerr's.
You can tell.
Yeah, and you have to be worried that Barry Gordy didn't think, hey, what's that? That's one of George's things, you know, come running after you or something.
Well, you know, it was amazing. When I went to England last year, Blackpool.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a clue that those people like my music over there.
So
when I went over there and I did the question and answers, I had so many people that were there to hear what I had to say, and they was asking me different questions.
Yeah.
And then when I got ready to, when we finished, I took my book and we set up a table and I started to sell them my book.
And it sold out.
I could not believe how those people bought my book and how they like my music.
Yeah.
Some of them say I touched their souls. Some of them say they had children on some of the songs I had written.
I remember it because I was in the queue for the book and you sold out before I got to the end, so I need to do a bit of mail order there. Anyway, the people at Blackpool were very pleased to see you. We'll talk about that in a moment, because you've written so many classics, not least this next one. Fancy working with Linda Jones, one of the all-time most soulful women I've ever heard. So, George, I'm just going to play one of the tracks, one of the many tracks that you wrote for Linda. Talk to you in a minute. From the pen of George Kerr, Linda Jones Just Can't Live My Life. That never fails to fill the floor. Great tune, George.
Thank you very much.
Linda Jones. I mean, I say I've got a bit of a soft spot for female soulful voices.
Absolutely.
And, and you've worked with all three of my favourites, Linda Jones, Debbie Taylor and Alice Clark. Fantastic. I mean, did you meet all three? Were you working closely with them? I assume, well, I know that you met Linda because I heard you tell the story of Hypnotised.
Right, right. Well, Debbie Taylor, a friend of mine that was working for RCA at the time, and he says, George, I have this female I would like for you to listen to. Maybe you would like to record her. So when I went and listened to her, I liked her style. So then I said, yes, I would like to do it. So I did four tracks on her.
Right.
It turned out to be real big over there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is over here, George, I bet you were really overwhelmed and surprised that people must have been telling you things about you that you'd forgotten and about the things you'd done that you said, wow, how do they know all this? Because, you know, there's a lot of real hardcore people who follow people like George Kerr and know so much about George Kerr. It must be kind of strange with these guys telling all these things when you met them in Blackpool.
There were so many people that I met, and they just came up and they just wanted to touch my hand. They just wanted to... I could not believe it. I never dreamt anyone knew anything about me in England over there. I never dreamt it.
Yeah, well, it's great. Yeah, you made a lot of people very happy on that Saturday, especially to get an insight. I mean, these people have been collecting for, 40 years. And to get the inside story on the tracks that have been so close to the heart, that this music is something that takes you somewhere and it holds a memory, especially if it wasn't, if it was more underground.
Absolutely.
And to hear the story behind it, fantastic. Anyway, I want to talk to you about Debbie Taylor, because there's a track that she did that was unreleased until last year, I think it was. That actually got brought out by, I think it was by The Moments. A tune called All That I Have. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
What a voice. What a great track that was.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. How come that didn't get released? Because that must have been about 1968, I would have thought, but,
right,
or 69.
Well, Florida, but we just bypassed that one for some reason.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's just not right for the time, is it? And then tastes change.
Yeah. Doing so much at the time.
I mean, yeah, the things that I'm buying now, because I'm a lot older and slower, and nothing like the things that I was flinging myself around the dance floor to when I was 20 years old. But, oh, what a beautiful voice. Absolute gold. Right, so the next track then, George, is talking about Debbie Taylor, because she fronted, she fronted Hesitation, didn't she?
Mm.
Now, this is the What Knows, and a track that you've chosen for us to play. This is I'll Erase Away Your Pain. George Kerr back in a moment. There's the Whatnots from 1971 and a tune called I'll Erase Away Your Pain. Listen to me, Aidy Crampton and Dean Anderson in the studio tonight talking to a very special guest, George Kerr. George, thanks for dialing in. George?
Yes.
Lovely. We just played the Whatnots on Stang, of course, which was a subsidiary of All Platinum, because you work with Sylvia Robinson quite a lot.
Prolifically, yeah.
Things, on the All Platinum label, she was a big wheel in a day, wasn't she, bless her?
Yes.
Pushed the boundaries of music. I mean, she's regarded as the mother of hip-hop, from what I've read.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right, if it wasn't for Miss Robinson, it wasn't known as hip-hop.
Yeah.
She was the first.
Yeah, wow, absolutely, out of New Jersey. Right, we actually met, you and I, last year in the Blackpool International Soul Festival. What a great event that was. I say 3,000 people packed into that hall to listen to the stars and also to yourself. Tell us about that experience.
I could not believe it. Man, I looked at 3,000 people, all them people come up and everything. It was just incredible. I couldn't believe it. And the people dancing, all those people dancing to my music. Too, you know, I couldn't believe it.
Great stuff.
Amazing.
Great stuff. Well, I'll tell you, you set the standard, because next year, or rather this year, they've actually doubled the capacity. They've sold in 6,000 tickets. And the guests, built on the success of last year, the guests this year are Patty Austin, Margie Joseph, Eloise Laws, Anne Sexton, and Nolan Porter. So, what a treat.
Great. That's really, really great.
Yeah.
Who's doing questions and answers? I think it was from Motown, Holland.
Oh, I don't know. Brian Holland? I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
I mean, you were with Richard Serling over the weekend. Did he mention anything?
He talked about this year's event, this forthcoming event that you just mentioned, but no, I don't know. No, I didn't. No, I didn't get that far into conversation with him, but yeah.
Do you have any plans to come back to the UK, George?
You know, I'm going to come back over next year.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm going to come over next year because I had told Serling that I would, you know, I would definitely come over.
Good.
Because he just wanted to bring me back.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back. I love those people. I didn't want to leave.
Good. That's good. But, you know, I mean, the people over here, George, have listened to that music and danced to the music, and now you've got grandchildren are dancing to the music their grandparents were dancing to, you know, 40 years ago. So, you know, a thing that we thought maybe dying is getting stronger and stronger, and things like the Blackpool Festival and the accessibility to people like you on Facebook is just giving it another
lease
of
life. Well, it takes it to another level, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Because you can actually meet your heroes and the people that you grew up with. Although you don't see the people and the love that was, you know, about the time, but these things really mean a lot to folk. So it's nice.
And the thing that Richard's doing as well, you know, talking to him, he wants to make sure the people who we were dancing to are getting some reward from that,
because
a lot of the guys have had nothing out of it.
No, you hear so many sad stories of soul stars who die in poverty, and it's, you know, once they've finished making records and contracts, then they're just left their own devices.
Yeah, working in
such
supermarkets,
a shame. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, whatever, yeah.
I mean, there was a lady was murdered, wasn't there?
On the
I forget her name now, bless her, but she was sleeping rough, poor girl.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's good that the artists get some reward and get some recognition back, like a second wind. That's a good thing. Right, what else are we talking about? So, I want to talk to you. We've got 40 seconds before we have to go into the news. Will you be able to hang on until the news is finished, and we'll talk to you some more?
Yeah, that's fine.
Great, because I'd like to talk to, I'd like to let people know about the book that you've got on the way out. This is the famous book that I queued for on Saturday afternoon at Blackpool, and you'd sold out. So, yes, I'd like to hear all about that, please. But not too much. You don't want to give too much away, just enough to keep them
hanging. Whet the appetite, George, and then people are going to buy more copies, that's it.
Fantastic. Right, we'll be talking to George Kerr after the news, and that's coming up next. Radio Northern Soul anthem, Connie Laverne, not written by, but this time produced by George Kerr. Do you remember that one, George?
Yes, I do remember that. It seemed like just yesterday.
Oh, great tune. Great
track.
Great track. So, you're listening to me, Eddie Crampton, here on Radio Newark, with Dean Anderson in the studio and George Kerr on the phone. George, thanks so much for talking to us this evening.
Giving you some precious time, George.
That's
really
right,
appreciate
it. So, tell us, I mentioned that I met you at Blackpool and I was in the queue for a book. You've written a book on your life and times. Tell us about that.
Yes, I got a regular book, and I also have a 3-CD set audio book.
Right.
I have over 100 songs playing while I tell my life story.
Wow.
And, and this guy, Jonathan Williams, he was with the Rim Shots.
The Rim Shots, yeah, brilliant, yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here with Jonathan Williams, who was the lead. He played lead bass, and it was his group. I'm sitting here with him right now.
Evening, Jonathan.
Jonathan, say hello to Jonathan. Yeah, come here, Jonathan. Hey, this is Jonathan Williams.
How do you do?
Hey, good evening, Jonathan.
Greetings from England.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Hope I've not interrupted your busy afternoon today. Thanks very much for getting in touch with us and giving us some of your time.
Yes, my pleasure.
Great. So, what are you both working on at the moment? Have you met for a business meeting?
Well, we usually do things in the studio, like off and on. And I was working with George when he did his audio CD.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun, and then put it together, helped put the whole thing together. Because I'm also an engineer, also a bass player.
Ah, lovely.
Engineer.
Lovely.
So, we've been knowing each other for years and working together for years. And it was a pleasure to work with George on the project. I mean, what can I say?
Yeah, brilliant.
Will there be any more output, musical output from George or yourself? Are you working on anything at the moment? Any music?
Beg pardon?
Are you working on any new music at the moment?
Yeah. Well, I just finished the Ray Goodman and Brown. I got a single that I'm coming out with Ray Goodman and Brown in about 6 weeks.
Lovely.
And Jonathan was a part of that. He helped me with that. And I think it's one of the best things that I've done. I think you guys are going to really love it once it comes out.
Good. Well, when it comes out, if you get it across here, we'll give it some play.
Absolutely. And who's putting that out? What label is that going out on, George? Is that your own?
Well, right at the particular moment, I think I may go through, Leland Robinson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go through Leland. Joe Robinson, Celia's son.
Right. Yes, there's a lot of good names there kicking around. Wow.
Fantastic. So, Troy Keyes. You worked with Troy Keyes and wrote a couple of songs for him, George.
I'm right. Love Explosion and a lot of the other songs, but Love Explosion was one of the big ones that I had with him. And I'm getting ready. It's amazing you said that. I'm getting ready to do Troy again.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm getting ready to do E-Band. I'm going to do some things on E-Band.
Right.
He just left the Stylistics, the lead singer.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Wow.
So I'm getting ready to do him also.
Lovely, because there's quite a lot of new music coming out from sort of 70s and 60s artists, and they're flying out the door. They only tend to, or at least the ones that I've been buying, are on short production runs, probably 500 or 600, but they're very, very well received.
Uh-huh.
So just keep doing what you're doing.
Yes,
well,
definitely.
I'm definitely going to do that, and I just want to make mention of that book.
Yes.
That book that I have tells my life story, and the songs are playing behind it, and it's just great. Jonathan did a fantastic engineering job with it. That way you can be able to hear the songs, and you can be able to hear what I'm saying
at
the same time.
Great stuff.
And I presume the songs are done in sequence with with the timeline then, the earliest ones first, et cetera, et cetera. Is that how you've done it, George, or...?
I just want to say they can pick it up at georgekerrmusic.com.
GeorgeKerrMusic.com. Fantastic.
A lot of people have signed up for that, George. Yeah, GeorgeKerrMusic.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely. Right, we're going to play Troy Keyes' Love Explosions. George, thank you very much for giving us your time this evening. Really appreciate it.
And I would just would like to say, I love those people over there. They just treat me like I'm God, and I love them. So I just want to say to all your listeners, thank you very, very, very much for liking my music.
Oh, yeah, thank you for the music.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, and George, I can assure you that our listeners haven't heard the last of George Kerr. We'll be seeing you up close and personal again, I'm sure, and we'll keep listening to your music. So thank you, George Kerr.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time. Okay, Troy Keyes then, and Love Explosions from the pen of George Kerr. There, from the pen of George Kerr, that was Troy Keyes and a tune called Love Explosions. Dean, what do you reckon to that?
Hey, Dean, it was absolutely fantastic, and you know, you could hear the appreciation in George's voice towards the end. He got really overwhelmed, I think. It was wonderful, and you know, what a pleasure, what a honour, you know, talk to people like that. And you know, 34 years, we'd never have thought that would happen.
No, absolutely not. Yes, absolutely really not. Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me, Nadia.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It's been great.
Thanks for coming along and sharing the love,
yeah,
sharing the fun. Great stuff.